Ready for a healthier you? It's time for Gulf Coast Nutrition with Dr. V and Brenda B.
Welcome to Gulf Coast Nutrition with Dr. V and Brenda B. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Vallon, chiropractic physician, and with me is my co-host, Brenda B.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Gulf Coast Nutrition. We're so glad you joined us today. And for those of you who have not joined us before, we are Gulf Coast Nutrition Radio with a store of the same name, Gulf Coast Nutrition, in Palm Harbor, Florida, on the corner of Alderman Road and Alt 19.
And you can also check us out at gulfcoastnutrition.com, and you can get on there and take a look, take a virtual tour of the store, and you can also come by and pick up some FitLife foods as well, because it is lunchtime.
Yes, lunchtime. You want those FitLife foods. We have some awesome scary specials going on this month. King Bio, 25% off the entire line. Carlson Labs Fish Oils, 20% off. Sovereign Silver, 20% off. Garden of Life Kind Multivitamins, 30% off. All of Renew Life Probiotics, 30% off. So some really, really great deals. But we have a really wonderful show today. We are going to be talking to a very nice man. I consider him a friend of mine. I've met him several times now, and he's just absolutely wonderful. This is Dr. William Davis is who I'm speaking of. And some of you may know him very well. He's been out there, and he is a Milwaukee-based cardiologist, best-selling author of some very well-known books, including Wheat Belly, advocate of a grain-free lifestyle, and he's been on numerous radio and TV shows, including Dr. Oz. Dr. Davis, thank you for being with us.
Oh, happy to be here.
And it's such a pleasure to have you on. I appreciate you doing the show with us. You know, I just feel privileged to have you on our little show here in Florida. And I know you've been all over and speaking to so many people. And now I want to start off with a question about you being trained as a traditional cardiologist, right? And how did you begin the path of integrative cardiology or preventive cardiology, to speak?
Well, as often happens to people, you know, it wasn't a single revelation. It was a series of events, but it started, so you're exactly right. I was doing interventional cardiology, doing procedures morning, noon, and night, procedures like angioplasty and putting in stents and atherectomies, all those procedures that are done to open people's coronary arteries, their heart arteries. Well, my mom died. My mother died of sudden cardiac death.
Really?
And so she died of the disease that I thought I was treating every day. And that was, I think, the first step, the first dent in the armor that you can deliver heart health or heart health in any fashion in a procedure. So I started to ask questions like, you know, are there better ways to detect heart disease before trouble sets in? Because, you know, with heart disease, the first sign of trouble can be death, sudden cardiac death.
Right.
Or a heart attack or other bad things. And so I asked, can we identify heart disease earlier? And if we do, is there a way to track it? And if there's a way to track it, is there a way to put a stop to it, maybe even reverse it? Well, this took me many years to put all the pieces together. One of the things I did in Milwaukee was I put together the people to develop Milwaukee Heart Scan. This is about 18, 19 years ago. It took a lot of work, a lot of behind-the-scenes financing work, putting the right people together, and we were doing it. And we were tracking coronary disease with this device. Back then it was called an electron beam tomography device, which they're now gone because GE, the big technology company, didn't like that company, bought the patents and the company and closed it down.
Really?
But because they were a competitor. But back then we had this wonderful, wonderful device, this so-called ultra-fast CT, and you could quantify very, very readily with low radiation just how much coronary plaque you had. And we watched people's plaque, and it would grow 30% per year.
Wow.
Astounding. When you have a precise tracking tool for coronary disease, it's astounding how fast it grows. Well, I started to ask, what can we do to put a stop to it? Several things became clear, both in clinical trials that we contributed to, as well as the experience that was developing, and that is statin drugs hardly have any impact at all. They have a modest impact. and cutting fat in the diet did nothing.
Really?
Right. So I started to ask, well, what can we do? You know, when you have somebody who's got a heart scan score, say a 500, normal is zero. And a year later, after they, let's say, take a statin drug and cut their fat and exercise and seem to do everything right, and the score goes from 500 to 680, they try harder. They come back another year later, it's 810. It's very scary. So these are motivated people with relentless, rapid progression, growth in coronary plaque. So that's when I asked, well, what can we possibly do? So I started to piece this together. It took several years of trying to understand. Well, one of the ways to try to understand why this happens is to look at the particles in the blood, not cholesterol, Brandon, not cholesterol. Cholesterol is a complete, utter fiction. It's a tool used by the big pharma, by the pharmaceutical industry, with a germ of truth in it. The real test to look at the particles in the bloodstream is something called advanced lipoprotein analysis, the particles in the blood that carry fat. Well, it became clear that fat in the diet has nothing to do with lipoproteins. What triggers the most common abnormality in people with coronary disease are grains. Grains and sugars are extravagant triggers of the small LDL particle pattern, small oxidation-prone LDL particles.
Now, this is really surprising, Dr. Davis, because how long has the government been telling us, you know, to eat low fat? And, I mean, years ago, what was it, in the 1960s or something, that came about, eat low fat and up your carbs, up your grains.
Right. It's an incredible blunder. An astounding blunder. There's a series of blunders they made that started with the politics of trying to demonize saturated fat, then total fat, then trying to find foods that could replace those calories, in this case, healthy whole grains. A lot of this was done for political purpose. This is why it's legislated now that the USDA and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services give us dietary advice. Dietary advice not based on science. Dietary advice based on politics. And that's what we've got now. We have this food pyramid, food plate, etc. And dietitians who are trained to pass on this message, a political message, yet there is no science behind it. So when I started to piece this all together, and by the way, I'm not the only one who says this. The science that proves that grains and sugars are the most flagrant trigger of the most common abnormality that causes heart disease, small LDL particles. A lot of this research is from University of California, Berkeley, and University of Connecticut, and the University of the Texas system. There's ample data to tell us it's grains and sugars that cause the formation of small LDL particles. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is you take those things out of the diet, and wonderful things happen. Small LDL drops to the floor. Typical result starts at 1,800 nanomoles per liter. That's how it's measured. Drops to zero or some other very low number. In other words, it's not a 10% reduction or a 25% reduction. It's virtual obliteration of this terrible abnormality. But when I did that for heart purposes and to help reduce people's sugars, because grains raise blood sugar more than even table sugar, that's another issue. When you take grains out of the diet, other things start to happen. And that's what set me on the course for wheat belly. That is, if you take grains out of the diet and people came back to me and their small LDL would be much lower and their blood sugars would be much lower and diabetics had to back down on insulin or even stop it and stop some of their oral drugs. But they would say to me, well, that's great, but why did I lose 48 pounds? And why did my waist shrink by 4 inches in 3 months? Why is my asthma now gone and I threw away my two inhalers? Why is my rheumatoid arthritis so much better? I'm off all the drugs and I have no more pain, stiffness, and swelling. Why is my depression gone? Why is my anxiety and paranoia now gone completely and I'm happy? Why did my knee pain disappear? Why did my chronic rash of 15 years treated with steroid creams disappear within 5 days? So this is when I start to ask, what in the world is in modern foods made of wheat? Because, you know, when we talk about grains,
Mm-hmm.
We're not really talking about teff, right, or millet. We are, for all practical purposes, talking about wheat, foods made of wheat flour. So I focused on wheat flour, this grain that dominates diet. And lo and behold, I uncovered all the arguments that led to the wheat belly story.
Now, yeah, when did you start seeing these type of results in your own patients?
Well, you know, I did it for heart purposes, like we talked about. This all happened 7-8 years ago, something like that. Not all that long ago.
Okay.
But it was so striking, so consistent. You know, when you see ulcerative colitis with pain, diarrhea, hemorrhage, bowel hemorrhage on 2-3 drugs, or you see rheumatoid arthritis that causes disfiguring changes in the fingers and wrists, and it's painful and swollen on 3 drugs, when you see it, gone. I don't mean a little bit better, a little less pain. I'm talking about gone. When you see it, gone. Now, these two conditions, by the way, take months to recede. They don't have, there are many conditions that recede very quickly, like migraine headaches can recede in 5 days. Rashes can disappear within a few days. But the autoimmune diseases like ulcerative colitis or rheumatoid arthritis generally require months to recede. But when you see these people whose lives have been ruined by these conditions, when they come back cured, you know, it catches your attention.
It sure does.
For me, you know, the turning point for me was a 38-year-old school teacher who had ulcerative colitis, and she was in constant pain.
And
pain.
Dr. Davis, we have to take a quick break. I want to hear about the school teacher when we come back. Just stick with us.
Uh-huh.
And you're listening to Gulf Coast Nutrition with Dr. V and Brenda B. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Nutrition with Dr. V and Brenda B. We have been speaking with Dr. William Davis, the author of Wheat Belly.
And thank you for being with us. Hi, Dr. Davis. Thank you again for being with us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
And sorry about that. We had to cut you off a little bit on that break. Now, you started to tell us about a school teacher.
Yeah, this was a turning point for me. It was a 38-year-old school teacher who came in to see me for a relatively minor heart issue, just palpitations, this kind of flip-floppy feeling that proved to really be nothing. But she would always clutch her abdomen when she talked to me, and I asked her about that, and she told me she'd had ulcerative colitis for 12 years, and that she had 24-hour-day pain, bloating, and diarrhea, and even bleeding. And the bleeding was so bad she had to receive transfusions for it.
Oh, my goodness.
So she was on 3 drugs, and they couldn't stop the bleeding. So her gastroenterologist told her that she needed to have her colon removed and have an ileostomy bag put in. Well, you know, it's, as you know, a young woman, it can be disfiguring. This thing, you never grow back a colon, of course. It's gone for life, and you have this orifice on your abdomen. You have to wear a bag to catch the stool, and it, you know, makes noises. I mean, it's a real change in life. So she told me this, and I said, you know, you really have to. Let me tell you about the diet, I told her, that I'm doing, you know, for people with coronary disease, and I know you're not here for your ulcerative colitis, but let me just tell you, I told her, this was the time where I was eliminating all wheat, before I really caught on that we had to eliminate all grains, but she gave me this odd look, and she said to me, well, why? I don't have celiac disease. They biopsied me twice, you know, with an endoscope, and even ran the blood test, and I don't have celiac disease. And I said, I understand that. I'm not talking about celiac disease. But I gave her my rationale. She came back 3 months later. I asked her what happened. And she said, well, within 5 days, all the bleeding, diarrhea, and cramps stopped.
Oh, my goodness.
Kept on going. I felt so good. I stopped one of the drugs. She did this on her own. She said, I kept on feeling so good, I stopped a second drug. And I kept on feeling so good, I stopped a third drug. And I lost 38 pounds. You know what? We didn't even talk about weight loss. So it wasn't like she cut calories or initiated some extreme exercise program. It just happened. She didn't even work at it. So she goes back to her. And this is why the turning point came for me. So I knew this worked. I'd seen it before. But when she went back to her gastroenterologist and said, look at me. I'm different. I'm slender. I feel better than I have in years. and I'm cured. My ulcerative colitis is gone, and I stopped all your drugs. He shrugs and says, it's a coincidence. Just go back to what you were doing.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, astounding. And that's when I knew, you know what? I was having this astounding experience watching people undo all these conditions. I had to talk about it outside of what I was doing in my office and the limited online conversations I was having. And that's what really kind of sparked me to write the Wheat Belly book. And you know what? These experiences keep on coming at me. This movement continues to grow. And it's not my extraordinary charm and good looks. It's the astounding stories people are sharing. It's of people with ulcerative colitis experiencing cure and diabetics becoming non-diabetic. That's what's driving this movement.
And you can see some of this on your Facebook page. There's a lot that you put up on people, just like the story you just told, people who are getting these incredible results. And it's not just weight, although they do tend to lose weight. There's a lot of people that lose weight by eliminating the wheat and the grains. We know that, and you see it all over your Facebook page. And what is your Facebook page, by the way?
If you just look for, if you're on Facebook and put Wheat Belly or we call it, official Wheat Belly. Official Wheat Belly.
Official Wheat Belly. Okay.
Because there's a lot of knockoffs, people who try to do, you know, when something achieves a lot of popularity, there's a lot of people trying to copy it. So we had to call it the official Wheat Belly if you go on Facebook. But you're right. It's the before and after pictures people post. You know, we can't post before and after pictures of diabetes going away or of Crohn's disease going away. So we can't really show you pictures of that. So we show you what we can show you, which is mostly before and after photographs, including of the body, but also the face. You know, that's one of the most striking and fascinating things that you see with this experience are the changes in facial structure as quickly as a week. So people will post their pictures before and after, a week later, 3 weeks, 3 months, whatever, and you'll see they look completely different. Yes, they lost weight, but they also lost puffiness around the eyes.
Right.
They lost the seborrheic red rashes along the sides of the nose and cheeks. Their facial contours, it's almost comical because the facial appearance is so different. People often come on there and say, you people are finding two people. One is overweight and unhealthy, and the other one is slender and healthy, but they look somewhat alike. So,
right.
But that's of course, they're the same person.
Right. They're the same person.
Pictures.
And I look at them all the time, and I just find it amazing, and they just keep coming. The amount of people that have tried your program based on your book and the results that they're getting health-wise and weight-wise is really remarkable. Now, I want to ask you, why is it? Let's explain to our audience why you feel that the current wheat, or what you call Franken-wheat, is so harmful.
Well, you know, wheat and grains, for one, are grasses. They're seeds of grasses. You know, when you kids cut your lawn, you don't save the clippings to toss on a salad, right?
No.
But when you think of it, why is that? You know, it's green, it's their leaves, and why can't we eat them? Well, of course, if we did, we'd have a bellyache, diarrhea, nausea, and it would come out whole. It would come out unchanged. And that's because humans lack the digestive apparatus to consume grasses. So even though there's grass everywhere, we can't eat this stuff. Ruminants can. They have specific adaptations, quite significant adaptations, that allow them to consume grasses. Well, we can't eat the grass. We can't eat the blades, the leaves, the stalk, the husk. But we've tried. For the last 10,000 years, we've tried to eat the seeds. Now, even then, we have to dry it, pulverize it, reconstitute it, bake it, brew it, whatever. We try to eat it. But even then, the seeds of grasses still have mostly indigestible components. Now, what made this worse was agribusiness and genetics research. In the 1960s and 1970s, they took traditional wheat and changed it extensively. And this, by the way, is in the days predating genetic modification. So I point that out because the wheat trade groups and the people who defend wheat say, Davis is wrong, there is no genetically modified wheat. Well, I never said there was a genetically modified wheat. What I said was it's been changed by other methods. But the deception is this. Wheat was changed using methods that predate genetic modification that were, in many instances, worse than genetic modification. The modern techniques, modern methods of genetic modification introduced a handful of changes, maybe 2, 3, 5 changes, something like that, in the genetics of a plant. The older methods, such as chemical mutagenesis, the purposeful induction of mutations using toxic chemicals or gamma rays or X-rays, induce hundreds to thousands of mutations in a plant.
And Dr. Davis, we're going to stop right there for a quick second. I want to continue again. We got to take a quick break. So just stay with us. We've got more coming with Dr. Davis.
And we can also have people check out Dr. Davis at wheatbelly.com as well. And we'll be giving a book away in the second half of the show. So right now you are listening to Gulf Coast Nutrition with Dr. V and Brenda B. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Nutrition with Dr. V and Brenda B.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back. And we are Gulf Coast Nutrition Radio with a store of the same name in Palm Harbor on Alderman Road and Alt 19. Come and see us. And we are talking today with a wonderful man by the name of Dr. William Davis, and I'm sure some of you recognize that name. And Dr. Davis, thank you again so much for being with us.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, before we went to this last little break, you were talking about why the wheat is so different. What happened with agriculture to our wheat? It's not the same thing we ate that our grandma even ate years ago, is it?
Exactly right. So this was not done for evil purpose, though. It was done to suit agricultural needs, like increased yield per acre or drought tolerance or pest resistance, those kinds of changes. But using some bizarre and extreme techniques, changes in the genetics of the plant were introduced. So that modern wheat, you know, I live in Wisconsin where I can just drive about 5 miles and I can see wheat fields. It's all harvested this time of year, but just before it was harvested, you'd see it was about 18 inches tall. Not the 4.5, 5 foot tall stuff that we all remember. If you got down on your knees and looked at it closely, you'd see it looks very different. The seeds are very different. They're much larger. The seed head is much longer. The stalk is very thick. So there's very visible and obvious outward changes. But the changes are just not outward. There's also internal genetic and biochemical changes. And that's the key here. The stuff that was sold to us is very different. And we know that multiple components of modern, what's called high-yield semi-dwarf wheat, are very different from the foods made of the wheat flour from our mother's and grandmother's day.
Now, it's also, you mention in your book that it's also very addictive. Can you explain
exactly
that?
Exactly right. So there's a pro. Now, first of all, I should tell your listeners, get rid of this nonsense about gluten. Okay, so forget gluten. Gluten is a very misleading conversation. So this is not about being gluten-free. Okay, it's very confusing to people.
Mm-hmm.
So gluten is indeed a protein in wheat, shared in rye and barley. But the real key here is gliadin, because if you focus on gluten, you're going to be misled. Focus on other things in wheat and other grains. But key here is gliadin, the gliadin protein. Gliadin was changed. And we know this for a fact, even though the wheat lobby says wheat has not been changed. Of course it's been changed. We have literally thousands of research studies showing us the changes introduced into wheat. This comes from the agricultural genetics world. It doesn't come from me. It comes from people who've been doing this work for 50 years. So we know that gliadin has changed. Among the changes, well, first of all, you know that now gliadin and wheat are seeds of grasses. And so gliadin, being a protein from the seed of a grass, is very difficult to digest, and humans cannot digest it. When it remains intact, by the way, that's the first step in triggering the diseases of autoimmunity, like rheumatoid arthritis.
Mm.
But you can partially break it down to small pieces or peptides. You know, if you eat an egg, which is a digestible form of protein, you break those proteins down to single amino acids. If you eat the gliadin protein of wheat, it doesn't get broken down to single amino acids. It gets broken down to small pieces or peptides. Well, these peptides have unique structures, and it allows them to bind to the opiate receptors of the human brain. And that's the process that stimulates appetite and causes people to take in, on average, 400 to 800 calories more per day, every day. Now, those same opiates have other effects, depending on your susceptibilities. If you're a kid with ADHD or autism, it causes behavioral outbursts. If you are prone to depression, it triggers depression. If you're prone to bipolar illness, it triggers the mania, the high. If you're prone to schizophrenia, you have paranoia and you hear voices, auditory hallucinations. If you have a tendency towards bulimia or binge eating disorder, it causes 24-hour-a-day food obsessions.
Mm.
So these are the opiates that derive from the gliadin protein of wheat. So think of it. This advice to eat more healthy whole grains, to have your diet dominated by these grains morning, noon, and night, means that we have created, official dietary advice has created a nation of opiate addicts.
Oh, that's amazing.
Now, Dr. Davis, other grains besides wheat, what other issues are there and what other grains are we talking about?
So, you know, I highlight this issue that wheat is a grass, the seed of a grass, because grasses, you know, grasses are fascinating plants. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with grasses. They're beautiful plants. They do lots of good for the earth. The problem comes when humans try to eat them. So wheat is a grass, and grasses are unusually promiscuous. They mate with each other very rarely. This is why the genetics of rye are almost identical to that of wheat.
Hmm.
That's because rye has traditionally been the weed in wheat fields.
Oh.
Same is true of barley. So wheat, rye, and barley are very, very closely related. If you compare the proteins in them, they're almost identical. Corn, likewise. You know, people often think of corn, one, as not being a grass or seed of a grass because they think of a cob. But the cob is actually a human-induced mutation of the seed head, with the seeds being those kernels. If you saw traditional corn, which is teosint, you would say, well, that's just a grass. There's no cob in sight. So the proteins in corn are not quite as close as they are in rye and barley to that in wheat, but they're close enough. So the zein protein of corn overlaps a lot with the gliadin protein of wheat, and that's why people with celiac disease, for instance, who are often told, by the way, to eat gluten-free foods made with cornstarch, have their disease recur or persist because the zein protein residues in the cornstarch can re-provoke their disease. And so because they're so closely related, if you really want full control over your health, going wheat-free, huge first step.
Uh-huh.
But if you want to get closer to total or full health, you go grain-free. Now, by doing that, you will be gluten-free, but you'll also be free of the other thousands of co-components in grains besides gluten. So the real key here is not gluten-free. Wheat-free is a start. Grain-free is the real answer.
Now, you know, that can be an intimidating thing for a lot of people. I know that just from being in the store and talking to people and mentioning this, sometimes they look at you like you're absolutely crazy, you know, first of all. But you help guide people through this in your books, not only Wheat Belly. You also have your new book, Wheat Belly Total Health, but you also have the cookbook, do you not, of the Wheat Belly cookbook. So you give people options and recipes and guide them how to go along doing this and getting the grains out of their diet.
Well, you know, I learned a number of years ago that if you were very purist about this and just said go back to real single ingredient foods, no grains, no processed junk, because most processed junk has grains in some form, such as wheat flour and other forms and cornstarch, etc. If you just go back to real single ingredient foods, that works. It works wonderfully. But people will come back and say, but you know what? I've got kids, and I've got grandkids, and I've got
right.
holidays. And how about entertaining on the weekends? So I had to find ways to help people recreate familiar foods, but we're going to do that. We're going to recreate, say, pizza or cheesecake or muffins or cookies, those familiar foods. And we're going to do it without wheat, without other seeds of grasses, grains. We're not going to use sugar. We certainly won't use gluten-free junk ingredients, and we won't use other unhealthy ingredients. It took a while, but But I came up with healthy, delicious ways to recreate all those fun foods. And so people found it easier to stick to this program, even with families and kids and entertaining and social responsibilities. So you can indeed do it. And another thing that keeps people on track for this lifestyle is if you've been wheat and grain free, say for a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, and you have an exposure. It might be on purpose. You know, maybe your son's having a birthday party, you want to take a few bites of birthday cake, or maybe it's inadvertent. You didn't know that there's a little bit of wheat flour in the gravy or cornstarch in the thick in the sauce. You have it, and you get very sick. You get gastrointestinal distress, diarrhea, mind fog, headaches, depression, joint pains, skin rashes, asthma if you had it before. Most of these, what I call re-exposure syndromes, last from hours to a few days, but for some people, they last from weeks to months, particularly if you had a neurological or an autoimmune condition. So once you're wheat and grain free, you should always remain wheat and grain free, or you can provoke a lot of trouble.
So that's amazing. You know, and I see that just in myself as well. If a little bit of gluten, well, I shouldn't say gluten, but gliadin. Yeah, right. So now I know, gets in my diet, I get respiratory issues. So I just see that, and I can tell when something snuck in.
Yeah. So, you know, for this reason, I have to remind asthmatics, for instance, who had their asthma cured or at least much reduced in severity with wheat and grain elimination, that you should still maintain a rescue inhaler in case you're exposed. You know, just by accident somehow, you want to have that rescue inhaler just in case.
Now, we have promised that we were going to give a book away. We'd like to give one of your books, the newest book, Wheat Belly Total Health. Now, that goes more into all aspects of health, I believe, and we're going to talk to Dr. Davis about that book in just a few minutes. But we are going to be giving it away, so get your pen ready. And write down this number.
Now, is it going to? Are we giving away now, or
we're
are we giving
away
in the next segment?
Now.
You're giving them a chance.
I'm giving them a chance to get their pens.
You pull over. Don't write and drive.
So write this number down. So
it is
the first caller.
Yes, this is a back line. One caller only to the back line. 727-754-2900. 727-754-2900 will get you Dr. Davis's new book.
Yes, and that is Wheat Belly Total Health. And of course, this is Dr. William Davis, famous cardiologist. And you can also get on his website, wheatbelly.com. Take a look at everything there and get on his Facebook as well. Take a look at those pictures of people who have had tremendous success and the differences in how they look and feel. And all of like what Dr. Davis mentioned has resolved.
So in a moment, we'll be coming back with more about Wheat Belly and Dr. Davis. You're listening to Gulf Coast Nutrition. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Nutrition with Dr. V and Brenda B. And our store of the same name, Gulf Coast Nutrition, is located at the corner of Alderman Road and Alternate 19 in the Publix Shopping Plaza.
And we have some great deals going on this month for our specials. Okay, a lot of wonderful things like King Bio for 20%, 25% off. The new Garden of Life Kind Vitamins, 30% off. All of Renew Life Probiotics, 30% off. That's just some of our wonderful specials this month. Come on by and check us out. We really appreciate it, and we'd love to see you at the store. We've been talking with Dr. William Davis, cardiologist and famous best-selling author of the Wheat Belly books. Dr. Davis, again, thanks for being with us.
Of course.
Now, I wanted to ask you, you just put out a new book called Wheat Belly Total Health. Now, what's the difference in that book versus the Wheat Belly?
Well, so many new lessons have been learned since the first book. Lessons that help people get even healthier. So first step is extend your wheat elimination to that of grain elimination, all the seeds of other grasses besides the seeds of wheat. But then, you know, just as an alcoholic who's been drinking 2/5 of bourbon a day and stops on Tuesday, doesn't recover perfect health by Thursday, right? Lots of healing, lots of change, lots of nutritional deficiencies to address. Same thing here. If your health has been disrupted, by the seeds of grasses, grains, for the last 20, 30, 50 years, just stopping them is not enough. You've got to address all the other issues, all the nutritional deficiency. People are often surprised to hear that grains cause deficiencies. We're often told, eat grains for their fiber and B vitamin content.
Right.
Well, that's a partial truth. They don't tell you that the phytates of grains reduce iron absorption by 90%.
Wow.
The number two cause for iron deficiency anemia in the world, first is blood loss. Second is grain consumption. Zinc deficiency, magnesium deficiency, vitamin B12 deficiencies are very, very common in people who've been consuming grains for many years. So you have to address that. Bowel health, bowel flora, big, big issue. If you've disrupted bowel health and bowel flora for the last many years eating grains, you've got to take specific steps to recover, including steps to cultivate healthy bowel flora. So it starts, as you know, with a probiotic, what I call the seeds in the garden of your bowel flora, but you have to go farther. You've got to add these sorts of fibers, not wood fiber, like they tell you to eat from breakfast cereal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, humans don't have a deficiency of wood fiber, of course, but the bowel flora flourish on very specific forms of fibers. So people have to take those steps to cultivate and nourish healthy bowel flora. And when you do that, even better things happen. Weight loss goes farther. Mood, sleep improve even more. Cholesterol numbers like triglycerides and HDL get even better. Blood pressure drops even more. Blood sugar drops. More diabetics become non-diabetic. Autoimmune diseases recede even more powerfully. So it's all the steps you take beyond even wheat and grain elimination.
Okay. So you're now bringing them more into, as the book says, a total state of health.
Exactly. So all the things you can do. And you know what you see? You see an astounding number of conditions go away, or certainly recede. But so many people now have experienced complete resolution of many, many health problems just by taking these additional few steps.
Including cardiovascular issues. I mean, that's where you started, right? So you see that clearing up?
So people are told that they need to take statin drugs and cut their fat. Nothing could be farther from the truth. That's absolute nonsense. You can get some better numbers that way, but you don't necessarily get better health out of it. So what we're talking about is overall better health, part of which is a marked improvement in reduction in cardiovascular risk.
Now, are you doing a new PBS show?
Yes, I've got a public TV special that starts to roll out in several major cities just after Thanksgiving. It's been run in Atlanta, where the GPB Atlanta produced it, but we're going to roll it out nationwide starting after Thanksgiving holiday.
Wonderful. And the program's obviously about all of this.
It's actually called Wheat Belly Total Health, just like in the most recent book. And I get to lay out in fairly extensive detail what this is all about.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, how can someone find out, give us your information, how can someone find out a little bit more about you and your books?
Well, the book you'll find on Amazon, of course, major bookstores, but you can join the conversation, as we talked about, just on the Wheat Belly Facebook page. Lots and lots of photos and before and after photos and stories and advice, and it's a good place for feedback. There's also a Wheat Belly blog where you can find links to all the book retailers for the books, as well as ongoing conversations, including recipes, and of course then all the books.
Okay, wonderful. Dr. Davis, thank you so much for being with us today. We really appreciate all the information. Again, take a look at wheatbelly.com. Definitely take a look at the Facebook. You won't believe the changes that you see in people by doing Dr. Davis's program. And especially if you have these conditions, it is so important to take a look at this and seriously consider getting the grains out of your diet. Dr. Davis, again, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you, guys. It's been my pleasure. It's been fun.
Thank you.
Take care now.
And again, we are Gulf Coast Nutrition. We wanted to let you know, if you're driving around, certainly stop by our store. If you're hungry, we've got the Fit Life Foods. So because it is lunchtime still.
Absolutely. And those are not frozen. They have been prepared by Fit Life. They're good for several days, and you can come on in. We have ones like the supercharged chicken where they actually put in chicken.
Yeah, that one's yummy.
Yes, you've got a vegetable. You've got some sweet potato in there. That one's really plain, has a side, a little bit of sauce, but you don't have to put it on. They have salmon. They have a variety of different pork and other dishes. And, you know, we can throw them in the microwave.
You know which one's my favorite?
Let me guess, the chicken enchilada one you like.
You got it.
Yeah.
That one is my favorite. It's
yes.
A little tiny spicy, but it's really, really yummy. And they do have grain-free meals.
Yes, they do.
So they have a lot of grain-free meals. They have gluten-free
vegan,
meals.
Gluten-free, they have vegan and they meals. Have vegan meals.
So these are all freshly made, not frozen foods, wonderful foods. Also, I want to mention about our free tune-up. So we have something called your free supplement tune-up. So this is something where you would schedule an appointment with me and bring in all the supplements that you're currently taking. And I'll take a look at them and we'll see whether you're overspending on your supplements, whether you're doubling up on ingredients, whether you're taking the same thing in different supplements, and whether you're whether there's something out there that may be a little bit better than what you're taking. So
yes.
We'll talk a little bit. And this is a free service. It's called the Free Supplement Tune-Up. Give us a call to schedule that at 727-754-2900.
Again, that's 727-754-2900. And Brenda B., we don't diagnose people. We're not curing or treating anything. But we are taking a look at the supplements that you bring in and telling you, hey, there might be some other things in there. And there are also these specials that we are running for the month of October.
Right. Every month we have different specials. So, and some of them are very good.
And because of October, they're called the scary good deals.
Scary good,
good
deals.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And we've got the scary good deal of King Bio Homeopathic Medicines, 25% off the entire line. Carlson Labs fish oils. We did a great show with Carlson.
Yes.
Their fish oils are 20% off. Sovereign Silver, get your silver bullets for the month of
Silver bullets. Well, they're not really silver bullets, but it's how would you describe that? That is a colloidal silver.
A colloidal silver.
Right.
Yes. So which is very good for the immune system. So that's 20% off the entire line of Sovereign Silver, and you don't see sales on that very often. Garden of Life, the new kind multivitamins, 30% off. Nature's Way Immunity, 25% off. That's all their Sambucus and their Umka formulas.
And the main thing I love, the probiotics. Tell
the
us about
probiotics,
that.
Probiotics,
which
right.
ones?
Like, just like what Dr. Davis mentioned, you've got to get that
good
environment,
gut flora.
Good flora in the gut environment. Back.
And those are the Renew Life probiotics running at 30% off.
30%
off. An unheard
off.
Of 30% off.
Right, absolutely.
So, right, we're not allowed to advertise that in print, but we can say it over the air.
Yep.
So, so there
true.
You go.
Nobody
come on
told
in
us
and get
we
the.
Couldn't say it over
no,
because
it's an advertise, but it's only in print. So, yes, we're good to speak it to the world. 30% off of those
and
as
well. And
that's all
the entire month of October. So, please come by and see us. And if it is a little past October and you mention that to us,
we'll sneak it in.
Chances are we'll probably give it to you.
Sure thing. So, until next time, I'm Dr. V.
And I'm Brenda B.
And you've been listening to Gulf Coast Nutrition.